We have a new theme every year, and all I want to do is introduce the theme this morning. It's not going to be much of a sermon, but the theme is on the plaque behind me. We always put a new plaque up the first of the year. This is the first Sunday, and our theme is answers. Last year it was rejoice, and the year before it was on love, and so we want to just focus on the learning answers. Now, it's might not sound like that exciting of a theme, but I think if you stick with us through the year, in the morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, we're going to just deal with a lot of questions, some kind of shallow, some kind of deep, and come up with answers for the purpose that we might be able to help others. I want to certainly try to stress the importance of evangelism this year, winning souls to Christ. And if you've ever tried to do the work of an evangelist or a soul winner or anything, you know that questions come up. Good questions. People have. People have questions. Some people want to stump you, and there's always those out there that just want to stump you. But others sincerely want to know answers. But to give answers, we've got to know answers. And so we want to dig into the scriptures and find answers to some of the more prevalent questions and that people have. Now, our theme verse, you can't see it, but underneath that word answers, it's actually engraved into the plaque. We're going to bring it out with some maybe darker paint here pretty soon. But it's Proverbs 15:23, which is also on your notes, our memory verse for January. For 2019, this is our theme verse for the whole year. But each month, we're going to have different verses we want to memorize. And most of these verses on here contain the word answer in the verse from the Bible. Now, notice this year's verse, Proverbs 15:23, says this: a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Notice that a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. Do you like joy, or do you like being a sad sack? Do you like being depressed and despondent and never happy? Well, there's many, many, many ways, many sources of joy, and here's one maybe you haven't thought about. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. You know, the gaining of knowledge is really one of the greatest blessings in life is to learn something. In the old days, they used to say you ought to learn something new every day. And that is such a pleasure as you go through life to be able to learn something every day. Now, we may have to withdraw from the screen. It just seems there's a great addiction today to screens, little screens, big screens, whatever. I mean, huge screens. They got them this big in people's homes nowadays. I don't know how much bigger they can make TVs, but they're sure making them big, and then they make them small and for us to carry around. But we may have to kind of withdraw from a little of that and start doing some thinking, some meditating. You know, I believe the good Lord wants to show us something, even spiritually from his word every day. I believe God can show us something. His understanding is infinite. He has described himself that way in the scriptures. His understanding is infinite. That means it has no end. Therefore, his capacity to teach us things has no end. Does that make sense? There is nobody that knows it all. If God's understanding is infinite and he can teach us all of our days, then it is possible to learn things about him and about life all of our days. Don't ever get to the place where you say, man, I know it all. You know, like when I was 18, I knew it all. All right? But then now the more I learn, the more it's like, wow, I don't know much. It seems like every subject I open, and this is probably true in your life, every subject you open just takes you into a bigger room with more knowledge. It's kind of like going into Wegmans. And in Wegmans, in the entranceway, they got stuff displayed. Pretty smart people. You go into the little entranceway, and there's carts there, and there's things displayed. And then you turn, and you walk through, and then all of a sudden, and you're like, wow, look at this stuff. And that's kind of how it is with a subject. When you begin to study a subject in the scriptures, you kind of go into this room, and there's just a little bit, and you say, you know, I'm going to turn into this room, this subject. I'm going to study this out, and then all of a sudden, whoa, this subject is huge. And subject after subject after subject after subject in the scriptures, that can be your experience, spiritually speaking. And then it just leads to other doors, and you open those doors, and whoa, it's you. And the more you learn, really scripturally, the more you realize how little you know and how much more God can teach you. So his understanding is infinite. That means there's no limit on what you can learn this year about the Lord and about the Bible. I remember Charlie Gould when he was in our church. Some of you remember him. He lived to be 96 or 97, and he was a man of the Word. I used to go out visiting with him, and he got into his 80s and 90s and everything, and he just... I remember how he would say at those later dates in his life, in his 80s and 90s, how he had just barely scratched the surface of understanding the Word of God. And he's a guy that had been to Moody Bible Institute and had learned under Dr. R.A. Torrey, and I'm like, wow. But, you know, I'm not near 80 yet, but I'm getting up a little bit higher, and I'm starting to feel the same way about the knowledge that God can teach us and how we've just scratched the surface of what God can show us from the Bible. But there's a lot of distractions today that you're going to have to fight through. I want to encourage you to defeat your distractions and feed your focus. And boy, it takes work today because these things are like mesmerizing. They just... take our minds captive. But one of the joys in life is to have answers, not to be a know-it-all. We're not talking about pride or haughtiness, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. But to be able to humbly find some answers, it says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. A man has joy when he can say, oh, I know the answer to that question. And maybe somebody asks you that, and these things happen as you talk to people about the Lord. And a word spoken in due season, how good is it? If you got your Bibles open, look at Proverbs 21 and verse 30. Proverbs 21:30 says this, and it'll give us some hope. It goes along with what I just said about God. His understanding is infinite. Notice this promise. It's helped me. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 30, it says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Isn't that a great promise? That means God can't be stumped. He's got all the answers. I don't, but he does. Therefore, if somebody stumps me with a question, I don't have to be discouraged or despondent. I can go to God and say, God, I don't know the answer to this question this person asked me, but you know the answer to everything. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Please show me. And we can come up with answers for people. And we need to do that. I remember there's a pretty famous scientist that maybe some of you are familiar with. His name is Ken Ham. Some of you know who Ken Ham is, okay? Ken Ham, he built a replica of Noah's Ark down in Kentucky. And I guess we should all go see that. The Creation Museum's down there. I guess it's really good stuff. He's the guy that debated Bill Nye, the science guy, about creation and evolution, all that. Ken Ham's pretty... brilliant fella. But I remember he was, I guess you'd call it preaching or lecturing or whatever he does, one time, and he told this experience, and you kind of chuckle at it at first. At first, you kind of laugh at this story when I tell it, But then after a while, you think about it. He said, this was a long time ago, 20, 30 years ago, he was lecturing somewhere at some university, and he basically described it this way. He said, a hippie came up to me and stood in front of me after the lecture and said, huh. And Ken Ham said back to him, huh, what? And the hippie said, a Christian with answers. A Christian with answers. And it's kind of funny when you first hear it, but after a while it kind of makes you sad. Because basically we are thought of by the world as ones who adhere to fables and fairy tales and flannel graph Sunday school stories and precious moments type of Bible stories of Noah on the ark with his cute little giraffes and his hippopotamuses and all that and looking at me smiling. And they kind of say, well, let them, those ignorant people over there, you know, we'll turn to philosophy or we'll turn to science or we'll turn to the universities or the colleges to get our answers and just let those poor people, you know, ignorance is bliss. If they're happy believing cute little flannel graph Sunday school stories about a flood and creation, let them do that. You know, we'll go on the rest of our world without them. That's how they think of us. That's how a lot of people portray the believer in Christ, the average church-going Christian. And there's really nothing further from the truth. But I think the church has failed. Pastors, I think, have failed, and I'm talking about all of us in general, at feeding. The purpose of a pastor, the first time it's ever mentioned in all of the Scripture, is in Jeremiah 3 and verse 15, where God says, and I will give you pastors according to my heart who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And as a result, we have not taught the children and the youth growing up answers to sometimes difficult questions or just curious questions that every human being should have a right to ask and get an answer from. And as a result, according to George Barna and his research, evangelical churches lose 75% of their youth as soon as they get to college age. They abandon their faith and never return to it. 75%. And it's, I think, because the church has not answered their questions. And they just said something like, well, just believe what the Bible says. Well, the next question for some of them is, then why? Why should I believe the Bible? And I believe there's some great answers for it, and we'll get into some of them. Some of the history in the Bible, some of the science in the Bible, some of the prophecies in the Bible, and some of the morals in the Bible, and so on. And some of those things, there's no explanation for them except this is a divine supernatural book. And I hope by the end of this year, we'll have even more faith in the Scriptures than we did coming into the year. And so that's why I think answers is an important theme. And I'm hoping God's going to give us answers so as our youth grow up, they won't abandon the faith when creation is questioned or the flood is questioned and other things that are in the Scriptures. There's some great answers about these things. God has answers. But in Hebrews 11:6, it says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't do this half-heartedly. God looks at a person, and when they diligently seek him, then he blesses them. There was one fellow named Solomon who, in his youth, God gave him an unbelievable opportunity. God said to him one day, he said, ask me anything, anything you want. And Solomon responded and said, give me an understanding heart, And God was so impressed with his answer, his request, that he said, you know, because you didn't pray for the life of your enemies, and you didn't pray for a long life, and you didn't pray for money, but you prayed for an understanding heart, he said, I'm going to give you all these other things. And God gave him an understanding heart. And to this day, he's considered by some to be the wisest man that ever lived. He wrote 3,000 Proverbs. Now, there's about 800 of them in this book we're looking at right now called Proverbs. Big deal. Big deal. Did you ever try to come up with one wise saying, just one that nobody ever thought about? Did you ever try to invent one wise saying that nobody else ever thought about, that's unique with you? Did you ever try that? This man wrote 3,000, and about 800 of them are recorded for us in the book of Proverbs. Besides that, he wrote 1,000 songs. Did you ever try to write a song? Let alone 1,000. So when he speaks, I think we ought to pay attention when Solomon speaks, because it was by the Holy Spirit, and it was an answer to prayer. God, give me an understanding heart. Now, I suppose and I know that God has never changed. And so any one of us, man or woman, who would pray sincerely today or start praying, God, give me an understanding heart, but then paid the price to diligently seek, I believe by the end of this year we'll have a lot more understanding, a lot more knowledge. And boy, that sure is better than going through life in the dark, isn't it? That's better than going through life saying, well, I just, man, so many questions that I have had in my life that I thought would never be answered, in prayer, God answered those. Now look at February's verse. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Now there's our word again, answer. It's not in all these verses, but there's another one. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Are you righteous? I didn't say self-righteous. I mean, are you saved? Have you been made righteous by Jesus Christ? The heart of the righteous does what? Studieth to answer. And so that's what we want to do. We want to be righteous today. How should I answer this question if I get stumped? And you know, the times that I've been stumped, which have been many times, dozens and dozens of times, people have asked me questions and I said, I don't know, but I'm going to try to find out. Boy, those have been good seasons in my life where somebody asked me a question. I said, man, I don't know the answer to that question, but I am going to try to find out. And you go to God in prayer and you say, God, your understanding is infinite. This is the question I was posed. This question is actually keeping this person from coming to you. Is there an answer I can give this person? Is there an answer I can show? The heart of the righteous study the answer. That's what we should be doing. In the New Testament, you don't have to turn there, but you want to write it down on your notes, you can. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, study to show thyself approved unto God. And then the next phrase says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Have you ever been ashamed of yourself because somebody questioned this or this or this or the other about your faith and you had no clue how to answer? I have. I've said, man, I should know the answer to this. I'm sorry. I'm going to find out the answer to this. And you know, I find in evangelism, witnessing, it's usually the same 20 questions. People are like parrots, you know, a parrot, a bird that repeats things. It's usually just the same 20 questions maybe that they repeat. And where did Cain get his wife? That kind of stuff. You can tell that it wasn't original with them because I've been hearing that all my life. Well, it says in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 4 that Adam and Eve had sons and daughters. And the subject of inter-family marriages is not cleared up until Leviticus 18, which is 2,500 years later. That's what they did. And, you know, if you really think about it, if you just keep going back and back and back and back and back, guess what you did? You married your sister too. Right? Because we all go back to Noah and the ark and those three families. And so. But there's answers. There's answers to questions. And some of these questions that stump people can be answered. So it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we should study so that we're approved by God. He's the one that's going to give us the final test anyways. All right, and that's coming soon. But then we should be workmen, that is, in God's vineyard, working among souls on earth, so that we don't need to be ashamed, so we can give people answers. Now notice March's verse. Proverbs 16:1 says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So as you prepare your heart and look for answers, so it's from the Lord. In other words, God is going to give you answers. It's from the Lord. God is going to help you in the gaining of knowledge. As long as our hearts are right, our motives are right, it's not so we can win every argument and say, see, I'm smart and you're stupid. Now, there's some people that do that. They just like to argue and make fools of other human beings. No, we're trying to reach them. We're trying to reach them to our side, to the gospel, to Christ. We got to have right motives, a right heart. But if we do, the preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. He's going to give us some answers. He's going to give us some answers. Look at April's verse. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Well, thank you, Solomon. I sure appreciate it. I don't know about you. I love the book of Proverbs. And it certainly has helped me. And we also must realize humbly that according to our April verse, God is going to use other people to give you answers. Not only is he going to give us answers, but he's going to give us answers through other people that know things. I remember one preacher who used to say, every person is my teacher. Everyone on earth knows something I don't know, and it's my job to try to draw it out of them. But you got to be humble. To have that spirit. And people are going to ask us. Notice the end of this verse here. That thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. One of our men here, Brother Keith, last week was telling me that a relative of his just contacted him last week and said to him, I've got some questions about God. I've got some questions about heaven. And I said to Keith, jump right on it. They're searching. They want answers. They want answers. Now get over there. But there's going to be some, like this verse says, that send unto thee. That send unto thee. Out of the blue someday, someone's going to say, you go to church, don't you? And you're going to say, yeah. Well, I've been wondering about this all my life. And boy, we got to be right there. Oh, you don't have the answers? Well, maybe I'll go to the university. Or to the college, or to the professor, and see what they have to say. No, we need to be there with an answer. People are going to send to us. Look at May's verse. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. This is what we call appreciation. Appreciation. People want answers, and not all of them are fighters. They're not. Some of them are, but some sincerely just want answers. And every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. You know, a couple scientists like Kent Hovind and Ken Ham, some of those scientists, now I don't agree with everything they say or stand for. I hope you understand that. But boy, they sure helped me in the science realm, and I feel like kissing their lips in a figurative way. Because I had questions about evolution that I thought could never be answered by a Christian. And I listened to those scientists, Ken Hovind, Ken Ham, and some of the other ones, Dr. Lyle and those guys. And I might not agree with them on everything doctrinally, but boy, they helped me. And I can remember sometimes decades of questions while they gave their lecture. I said, whoa, I have wondered about that all of my life. I could kiss your lips. That's what this verse means. It's appreciation. I remember going out to pastor school in Hammond, Indiana in 1980. I was a failure as a Christian. I was defeated. I had been saved for 11 years, but it just seemed like every time I got up, the devil walloped me, knocked me back down on the canvas, and I finally said, what's the sense of even trying? I will never, ever be able to overcome the world or the flesh or the devil. What's the sense of trying? And 11 years into my walk with Christ, I ended up in Hammond, Indiana at a pastor's school with thousands of other people. And the pastor stood up that week and he spoke on the subject of meet the Holy Spirit. And all week long, he said, just as real as your relationship is with Christ, your relationship with the Holy Spirit can be, and the Holy Spirit can fill you and give you power and keep you from falling and teach you things and enable you for service. Meet the Holy Spirit. And he's been dead for 17 years, but I could still kiss his lips for showing me something God showed him about not only having a relationship with Christ, but having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Revolutionized my life. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. We had a funeral in this room yesterday. Right over there, I walked over, there was a tall man, about this tall. He had tears in his eyes. He stuck his hand out, he shook my hand. He said, thank you. He says, all of my life, I have been wondering how to do that. And when you prayed today, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. He could kiss my lips. He'll probably appreciate me the rest of his life. Why? Because somebody once showed me how I could accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And boy, he was so happy to accept the Lord. Well, let me just read the rest of these here. I'll be a little bit more brief. A soft tongue turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath. I have seen this to be true. I have talked with people about some of the most sensitive subjects you can imagine. What do you think about homosexuality? And they're just waiting, and I'll in a very long roundabout way give them a soft answer. And you know what? Whether they agree with me or not, they listened. And they said, oh, thank you. I remember being on the radio one time up here in Buffalo with Clip Smith when he was alive, and that subject came up, and one of the people from the gay community called in and said, you're different. He said, most pastors I talk to, and he didn't say very nice things about them. He says, but you've been kind in the way you've treated this subject. A soft answer. You know, if somebody asks you a question, you say, what, are you stupid or something? You're not going to get anywhere. The Bible not only tells us what the answers are, but how to express them, saying them the right way. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up strife. It's a shame, but there's sometimes some believers just want to be militant about everything. And I know we have to be without compromise, but it's possible to speak with a soft answer. And there's another verse of Scripture, I think it's in Proverbs 16, that says, a soft tongue breaketh the bone. And there's just something very, very powerful about speaking meekly, as the next verse says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. How? With meekness. Meekness towards men, and with fear towards God. Next verse, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, just a little bit. Just like when you have your lunch this afternoon. You just take a little salt. You don't unscrew the top and pour the whole salt on. You're going to wreck the meal. And so we are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We just need to put a little bit of salt in our speech that you may know how you ought to, what? Answer every man. Here's another one. This is what I call the golden rule of counseling. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame to him. When you're counseling with people, you better hear both sides of the story, because there's usually three sides. You know, in marriage, it's his, hers, and somewhere in the middle, there's the truth. And you better not side with somebody too early or on a subject too early until you hear both sides. October, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. You and I ought to live like kings. We are kings and priests in Christ. Doesn't the Bible say that? And it's the glory of kings to search out a matter. This matter's come out. I'm going to search. Let's act like royalty. Let's be kings. Let's search out a matter. November. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Yep. There's some things we're just never going to know. If we could know it all, we wouldn't need faith. Some things we're never going to know. Why did God do that? There's sometimes, I don't know. On the other side, we'll understand. But the rest of the verse says this, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So we need to know answers, because there's a lot of them, so we can pass them on to the next generation. Who can pass them on to the next generation so that Christianity can keep going? The gospel of Christ can keep going. And I think we're losing so many of our youth because we're not transferring them to the next generation in a satisfactory way. Last of all, consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in, what's the next word? All. What does all mean? All means all, and that's all it means, right? What can the Lord do according to that verse? He can give us understanding in all things. Wow! That's quite a verse to anchor your faith on this year. God can show me. God can give me understanding. I can be the answer man. Some of you in school, in the public schools or something, you can go to school with answers. God can show you things. Some of you are in college. You can go to college with answers. Now, at the bottom, there's a little bit of a little bonus thing here we're not going to talk about, but the book of Jude is placed right before the book of Revelation. It's like almost an introduction to the book of Revelation. And that I think there's 23 verses in it. There's not many, maybe 25. But if you can memorize the book of Jude this year, you can go over to the Resource Center and take anything you want as a gift. It's 25 verses, and you can do it. We're going to work on it. We're going to learn about the book of Jude, and then we're going to learn about questions and answers, issues, doctrines. In the last week, I've had a man come to my office and ask me this question: are you a Calvinist or an Arminian? How would you answer that? How would you answer that? Some people would say, I don't even know what those words mean. And I was able to tell them I'm neither. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. And I was able to go through some doctrines. He just came in from another town and just came to the office and asked me that. Another guy called me up this week and said, I was reading some of your literature on your website. You don't really believe in spanking children, do you? How would you answer that? And I talked to this man. He was from way out west. And as I was just digging around trying to help him, I found out that he was severely abused as a little boy. And he is not able to comprehend or reconcile in his mind that anybody could do that to a child and not have it be abuse. And I was able to go through scriptures. He did say, I believe in the Bible, but I don't believe it. And I was able to show him all these scriptures out of Proverbs and out of Hebrews and so on. And I said, sir, I assure you it is possible to use corporal correction on a child without abusing him. And that child is able to understand that you're doing that because you love them. You know, if your kid's running out into the street and you've told them, no, you can't do that, and you, what they used to call, apply the board of education to the seat of learning, that child's not going to say, you're an abuser. That child's going to say, oh, you love me. You do not want me to hurt myself. And my wife and I, we spanked all of our children. I don't think we ever spanked them after they were 4 years old. You don't have to do it forever. And we only did it once in a while. When I grew up, it seems like, did you ever hear of tag team wrestling? It seemed like my relatives had tag team spanking with me. My dad, my mother, my stepmother, my grandma, my grandpa, my uncles, my aunts. It just seemed, I don't know, I must just have been a horrible kid. But I was always getting spanked. I really was. I don't know what it was, you know, but I never once thought, boy, these people hate me, or they're angry, or they're abusive, or anything. I always felt, you know, they want me to do right. They want me, and the more I talked to this guy, the more he softened up. And I feel for him. I really feel for him. I really do. I don't know if he'll ever call me again, but boy, he's hurting. The stuff he went through, no human being should go through, no little boy. And I understand how he would recoil from what the Bible says about that. Questions come up. Questions. And we need to come up with answers. Job asked a question once. He said, if a man die, will he live again? And the Bible has that answer. Life goes on for all of eternity. God made man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That means an eternal soul. And every one of us is going to exist and live somewhere forever, for all of eternity. Where will you spend eternity? Will you spend eternity with the Lord in heaven, or be separated from God forever in hell in a lake of fire? Well, if you're saved, if you know the Savior, you can have the gift of eternal life. A gift God never takes back, but you got to receive it by faith. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Let's all bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our theme this year. We pray for thy blessing to be upon it. And Lord, we just pray that the beatitude of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God, give us a hunger and thirst for righteousness, for knowledge, for understanding, but most of all, that we would be able to be humble servants who can help people we meet who have good questions, who maybe have this question standing between them and God, and maybe if it was answered, there'd be a chance that they could be saved. Know the Lord. God, help us to use our minds, our God-given minds, to search diligently and seek out many things. Bless this year, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our service and turn in a hymn book to 611. 611 in your psalm book. And if there's anybody that needs the Lord today as your Savior, I'd be glad to talk to you, or somebody else would be. And as we stand together and sing a closing hymn, if you want to go to the back, somebody can meet you there. If you're not sure you're going to heaven someday but would like to have that assurance from God's Word, the Bible, somebody would be glad to talk to you about that. 611.